Tabletopped will start after the following messages.
Incoming message coming from the 588.
Good morning, recruits. Welcome to hell.
This is basic training. No one's supposed to die.
Wing Women is a semi-historical actual play podcast.
Have you pissed anyone off recently?
No one I can think of. While I run through the bulleted indexed yeah. list of people we've pissed off in the last couple of days.
They endure discrimination from their male counterparts.
All of your beds have been carried out of the nurse's station and placed in the middle of the jogging track.
I don't think it was Ivan. He's weak.
Against this bitter setting, our four motley heroines gain the chance to experience queer joy, gender euphoria, and equality for the first and perhaps the only time in their lives.
How obvious am I being?
See, I've kind of always thought that there is a level to some of us in this barracks that's visible.
Have you been using the word shenanigans?
I've been experimenting.
Where did you learn that word?
Until the next mission, this is us signing off.
Are you the kind of person or unspeakable nightmare horror who likes actual play podcasts, but occasionally wants a break from all the high fantasy heroics? If so, you should check out Negative Modifier, an actual play podcast that specializes in darker, more mature games. You can find us on YouTube, Twitch, or more or less anywhere else podcasts can be found.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Tabletop. Today, we are going to be talking about how to get out of a typecast for yourself with your playable characters. Find yourself always playing one type of character over and over again? Well, today, we're going to talk about this phenomenon and how to maybe break out of it.
Phenomena. But,
yes, exactly. Phenomena. Why don't we go around and talk about who's here with me?
Around the horn.
Phenomena and you who just spoke, who would like to go first?
Phenomena and Procne, which is a Metamorphoses reference, Ovid. Shout out. Thanks, Shade. Very good. I love the classic sky over
here. Who's talking?
It's me,
right,
Franco.
Now? Wow, what a big brain on Franco.
Look at the big brain on Franco.
And who else is here with me today?
It's Rio with the big heart.
Hmm. And?
It's Shade. I'm just big.
Nice.
Hell yeah, and I'm Nick, the host.
Yeah, you guys
big host energy.
You guys don't know, but Shade's actually 6'10".
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
The fact that he doesn't
he's a 6'10"
any...
vampire. Yeah, he's from a romance novel.
The reason why he doesn't have any pictures online is because he actually doesn't fit within a camera frame.
Yeah, the photo on our website is just someone I...
That's AI.
That's AI.
Okay. It's the only good use for AI.
Yes. All right, so let's talk about this.
And for writing this script that you're hearing right
yeah.
now.
And for generating these voices and unique personalities of the hosts.
Yeah.
And the audio that you're hearing.
All right, what were you going to
say? I was going to say that we all have done this and have tried to also break out of sort of self-typecasting. So why don't we go around and kind of talk about what we're talking about and our experience with it. So does anyone want to jump
what
in?
What are we talking about? We're talking about typecasting?
Of yeah. yourself,
of myself.
Yeah,
so
like,
I'm
because
like,
when you're
like,
making
oh,
your characters.
I'm always
yeah.
playing somebody that's like whatever. My first character ever was like the blandest fucking guy ever in the world.
Milquetoast Paladin, yeah.
Yeah, Milquetoast Dragonborn Paladin. You know, his only character trait was that he big. He fight
and he had Sentinel.
Well, yeah, and he has Sentinel and Polar Master at some point.
He did set up, I think, your weapon strategy for many of your characters.
That's a good point. Yeah, like
he was sort of yeah. you testing the mechanics.
Yeah,
of
yeah. totally.
The game and finding the thing that you liked.
And I think the thing that I also liked about him, well, was that his well. I didn't really like him, but he's just really sad. He would try to like establish a community. He would try to be like because he's like a folk hero background or whatever in 5e. And then Rio would just keep taking things away from him. He would keep like, he was like, oh, I'm going to kill this entire
Let's
island.
Not start lathering blame.
I guess you're right. I should say the story progressed such that the island community, which he constructed, was destroyed by marauding pirates when I was in a, I think time shifted for like several months or maybe a year even.
Yeah.
And then like my brother betrayed me and then my sister was killed and And then I was like lost in time and then showed up in a different campaign like 400 years later. So yeah, otherwise pretty boring though to play. Like how do you, you know, he's not like, oh, I have a rich personality. He's like, no, I have a sad story.
Yeah, totally. So do you, because all of your characters after that, with more or less no exceptions, have been a little bit more freewheeling, I would say. Like Sigra felt like very bound by like a code.
Yeah. And so boring.
All the ones afterwards are a little bit more like id driven, I guess.
Oh yeah. I think like Senfi, who's a tiefling hexblade, she was very like, yeah, fuck it, I'm just gonna fuck you up. Like I had like I don't know, I just like imbued more of my personality into some of my other characters. Which is just kind of like goofing around, being, and then like also, like you said, like giving into my id some more where, you know, they would just be like doing things impulsively.
Yeah.
What about, I think that's the hardest part. Yeah. You do end up typecasting yourself because the game lets you go into your id.
Yeah, it's true.
The id is going to be the same no matter what character you're playing. You're going to want to do the same thing.
Yeah, you just start walking around. It's like, what if I just, it's like, why don't I just kill this guy?
Yeah.
You know, I was.
I don't have that. Well, I
no. Well, some that's some people's impulse.
Wait. Rio.
Well, also, yeah. Actually, let's swivel back around to you.
Let's talk about your typecast.
Yeah, let's talk about your typecast.
I would say that one of your main types is sort of like I am justice.
I'm justice. Everything has to be my way.
But and also
here are all the boxes.
To the point where it is surprising to me that you've never had a why don't I just kill this guy? Because a lot of your like Valen experience, I guess, has been I'm going to kill this guy.
Yeah, but it's not I'm just going to kill this guy because I have a problem in killing. They're criminals.
Let me kill this problem.
Bad people. And you remove
it fits with his code.
Yeah.
Okay, but it fits with his code because that does sound like a psycho thing to say, but it does fit within the code of the character.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I'm just going to kill this problem away.
Yeah. He's not a psycho. He's, you know, it's just like a Jason Bateman type.
I'm a sociopath, not a psychopath.
I guess, yeah, let's start with like, because, so I just started kind of with a typecast that I think is more like me, which is like the Senfi characters, which are like a little bit more like goofy or whatever.
Yeah.
And what would you think of, like a, personality, like close to your personality typecast.
You guys want to hear something dark?
Okay.
So I think I play these characters, you know, because obviously, like, my father was very, like, dark and abusive, and I want to be the biggest monster in the world.
Huh.
So I play characters that are the bigger.
Like your dad?
Like, yeah.
Oh my God, you've been playing your dad this whole time?
I'm the scary monster.
Wow, that is dark.
I'm Valen. I've been doing a little project called Historically Me where I'm writing out all my childhood memories, and they're all very keen to being bullied by my father. So I think I just play characters that are the biggest.
But you also don't.
To destroy your father.
You also play very loving.
I guess to just be in control.
Yeah, but there's.
To become him or to destroy things that are like him that are also bullies?
Yeah, maybe that.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe lean into that side.
Yeah,
of it.
Lean into that.
Yeah, but then there's the other side that, like, Shade, you were talking about was like.
Bibbidi-Bob.
Tibbity and Ro both had like real are very like
comforting
like cutesy almost.
Yeah.
And even your dangerous characters like I mean not that those two characters are very dangerous but in a different way. Your more aggressive characters like Valen.
They have a code.
Abraham, have this code and they're also defensive of those around them.
Yeah.
So like I know with Valen he really formed a bond with a halfling family.
Oh, and the Peabody.
Yeah, the Peabodys.
The Peabodys.
And just like anyone gives them a sideways glance and Valen is like in that person's face, I will.
Yeah.
And Brova had a thing with Bill where they would just be like silly
all
buddies.
All the code color forms.
Yeah, it was like stealth Brova where Bill would just like dye your coat black.
Okay.
There is like an undertone of silliness too, but that's super interesting. So you think it's like more coming out of like a psychological place of like what you as a person
you want to protect people from monsters.
Interesting.
Yeah. I want to be the biggest monster to fight all the other monsters.
Interesting.
That's true, yeah, because they have sort of a monstrous tendency. Like even Abraham, even though he wasn't monstrous, he was just like a guy. He had this sort of very aggressive air.
Yeah.
That he was, but he was still like, I'm protecting people.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't like a bad guy. He was just like just obstinate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the whole thing of like, violence is a tool of the ignorant. and I'm not that smart. So.
Okay. All right.
What about you, Shade?
Yeah, I mean, all my typecast would be like careful,
bureaucratic.
Planner types.
Very, very much want to solve through talking things out first, and then, or even just running away. I do think that's why teleportation is the fucking best spell. Oh, I don't need to be here. Let's go away. You know, those kinds of people.
And you kind of have paired that with sort of like a still like kind of
maybe
an aware, still planning,
yeah,
but like,
evil,
chaotically. Evil,
yeah.
Planning.
Oh yeah, I mean, also my typecast is lawful good. Like,
yeah.
I know that alignment is bullshit, whatever, but lawful good is where I want to live. And
but like, this is where you bring up a good point: is where the alignment's not total bullshit,
yeah,
when it's like the ideal you want your character.
Yes,
to.
That's true.
Yeah. It only becomes bullshit when you are punished or hindered by, yes, the alignment system.
Yeah. And here's the, so for me, I have Bill, my first character, was hyper id, like just, mm-hmm, doing whatever at the detriment to himself and the others around me. And I've paired that with sort of like a very reserved, very careful type in,
yeah,
marks and stuff like that. I want to come back to like the play styles of those and like how that's affected my sort of relationship with the game. But also, to your point, Rio, I think when I made Bill, I was in a place where I was like, I feel so like kind of powerless in a lot of my day-to-day life, because I was like working hourly at a museum that was like really crushing my soul. That's where we met. And like I just was in customer service mode like 16 hours a day because I had multiple jobs and all of them were customer service oriented. And so I didn't have like, I couldn't really defend myself in a way of like, I can do what I want to do or respond in the way I want to respond. And I think that kind of leached into my playing life, where I was like, you know what? This person's being mean to me in the shop. I'm going to rob the shop. I'm going to do whatever the heck I want. I'm jumping through the window. I'm doing all this crazy stuff. And that was sort of like wild,
betraying
crazy,
the customer service people.
But like sort of allowing myself to have sort of the freedom to do whatever I want and not be bound by any sort of like laws or like,
yeah,
norms, you know what I mean? So I think maybe there's something
there too. It is like a weird escapist thing. Like I have encountered, there is a player that I had in one of my games who played in the game, and like his first response to, you know, the party was like exploring a mine where there was like infections and stuff, and people were kind of walking around like zombies, but they weren't like hostile yet.
Yeah.
And as soon as he saw one, he was like a guest person on the podcast or on the game.
Yeah.
As soon as he saw one, he fucking killed him. And it was like, oh, okay. And then everybody else was like, huh? It's like, yeah, that's like, it's sort of like you get into, it was his first time playing TTRPG too, but it's like you get in this kind of like, nothing's real, it's a whatever.
Everyone else is an NPC, I'm the main character.
Yeah, and I think that's like, that's sort of why it's interesting to talk about like typecasting and personality types and like how we construct the personalities of these characters, because I think they really become like real people.
Yeah.
Whereas when I made Sigra, the sort of boring paladin, I was like, I want to play a game, so I'm going to make a thing
game
that
character.
I'm going to make like a character that can like play and win things, like win fights.
That's one of like the traps I think I fall into as a DM a lot, is I make all these characters and like, oh, they're real people, and if the players like are mean to them. Can't be mean to my babies.
But
it gets really hard. Like they're real people to me. I spend like all week with them.
Yeah,
and then you for the first
and then
time.
You find yourself defending Caleb's like
Caleb's
ideology
Toronto,
or whatever.
Yeah. Caleb was there just to annoy Shade.
Yeah, Caleb did a great job of annoying me. That's maybe one of my most top collar buttoned characters too, and like,
oh,
man,
this Caleb NPC was basically like very like hyper religious and
like
theocratic, yeah.
And
also,
I looked up so many what did you call it? like
circular arguments,
fallacies.
Oh my god,
and
that's amazing!
All of them, so that I would have answers.
For, so well.
That's so funny, dude.
It was amazing, like to the point where we're like, we can't argue with this person, not because they're right, but because they're just not going to let us. Like,
we legitimately...
I did not know that, and that is incredible.
Yeah, that's very good, Rio.
I love that.
Like, I legitimately, I was playing a monk druid combo, terrible multi-class decision, but
good storytelling decision.
Exactly. I wanted to do something with this, and I achieved what I wanted. And I fucking turned into a giant eagle and was like, nope, I'm carrying him. I literally carried him so far off into the distance and then left him on top of a mountain or
kill
some
your
shit.
Problems away.
I was just like, I can't.
Yeah, it was a situation where it's like, he would not. It wasn't a combat thing. He wasn't going to roll initiative. You couldn't just like you couldn't kill him.
He was
an
not going to let us have that easy out.
But no, he wasn't. But he also was a threat because he was arguing for the religion of the demon.
Yeah, he was. Had he was like over. Fascism's cool kind of guy.
Totally. Like, he was like power.
Just like Taylor from Gilmore Guys.
Yeah. And then Shane was like, we can't kill him and we can't out argue him. The giant eagle. I'm going to put it in the mountains. We just won't have to look at him.
So I want to talk about this a little bit because I think that there is, like, people's first characters, I think, sometimes are, like, kind of the version of themselves that is sort of unbound by society.
Yeah.
So absolutely. It's because it's just, like you said, this is a game, no one else is real. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. Yeah. And so that is who they first make. Then I feel like there comes a point where you're like, if you're invested in the role-playing side of a game, you sort of become more interested in, like, how can I make a real, more fleshed-out character to have more interesting encounters? But this is where I've come into a problem, which is I've played more, like, I guess, realistic, in air quotes, characters like Marx or someone who has, like, a little bit more of a sense of, like, the world that he's in.
Yeah.
But I find myself having much more boring interactions because they're not super swingy. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not saying DM-wise. I'm just saying, like, a lot of the times it's like we're
Shane
talking.
Shane is the DM for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a fun goof. It's all good.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm also talking, like, in Ico, in other games where I play, like, lawful characters.
Another Shade game.
Yeah. Shade, I'm so sorry. It's not about that. Not about that
wow.
at all.
But burn, I have, drag him.
But I have a lot of these interactions where I'm like, yeah, and this is all internal to me because you give great offers, and then I'm sort of like, what would somebody who's sort of like sane and like in this world do? And it sort of is like,
you just think he picks the most boring choices?
Yeah, well, he's just like very safe, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then like, but I've also tried to do other character stuff in other games where I try to do like, there's the Dragonlance character, and there's also other characters that I've played in like your game when I played.
I don't know where it fits on my scale. Yeah.
And a lot of
Tippity side.
And whenever I play sort of like lawful, like, people, I guess, it ends up feeling like I am a little bit less of a, not like a shot caller, but like I have less impact on the party itself. Hmm. And I think maybe it's because I get trapped in more of like the stoic, like sort of like removed.
Yeah, like the, like my character.
Well, that's yeah.
like my first character.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. It sort of feels like there's a little bit of a separation between everyone. You don't have those chances to open
just,
up.
Just remember that no one's consistent. No one makes the same.
Yeah,
totally. For yeah. Sure. But like I have struggled, especially recently, holding a tone. Because I think that I keep drifting back to like, no, I want to do this. Like, I want to do this.
I think
which becomes like a dissonance with the character. So what do you guys do with that?
I feel like you're typecasting yourself in reverse. Because like when we play what we kind of want to do, you're trying to constantly go against what you want to do to play the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I think also people are kind of made up of their choices, right? Yeah. And so like as long as you keep getting presented with choices that are difficult or interesting and stuff like that, and your character is able to justify it in some way to themselves, that's the person who they are.
Right.
Even if it's not like, oh, I'm out of character, in character. And like that's sort of the maybe part of the disagreement that we usually have philosophically about like is this a story or is this a game?
Yeah.
You know, am I telling a story? If it's a novel, then characters should act in character because people get mad about it.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. I don't know why. Unless you read like a French novel and you're just like, why do they do that? And it's kind of like, oh, people can just do whatever they want. It's like, that's true. And I feel like in a TTRPG,
That's true, frustrated face.
But in a TTRPG, it's kind of like, it's like, oh, but I'm telling a story and they have to be consistent. I want to hit these character arcs, and when I hit these plot points and all this like bullshit that I mean, it's fine. Everybody's fun is valid, but I just think can be limiting and restraining because I feel like it's more interesting to explore the world and for that world to challenge you. Mm-hmm. And so to see what your character is made of, it's like a Hemingway thing, right? Like yeah. the thing about like a character.
Man versus world or whatever it is.
Well, like yeah. man, like you know what the character is when you put them against something that is difficult. Yeah. And so like if you see what they're made of as you go along, then that's the character that they are. Mm. And so like when, for example, when somebody's character like Shade's character Sora that was in my campaign gets presented with a difficult problem to like, okay, how am I gonna undermine this country, this mm-hmm. like nation state? And her, you know, the fact that she has that goal in the first place is part of her character, but the way that she goes about doing it is gonna be different than somebody else.
Yeah.
And so like when she's presented with those choices, Shade, you know, would think like, oh, what would Sora do in this situation? Yeah. And I think that is where the interesting stuff lies, because then you're like, if she breaks that character, if she like breaks out of the character and doesn't murder that maid that we all lamented,
yeah,
we're horrified by,
yeah,
and then nobody found out about.
Man, that was. I think that was my
coldest
favorite.
Shit.
I think that was my favorite part of that entire thing was that nobody ever found.
Nobody
out.
Ever found out about that
because the island yeah. fell very soon after.
No, it was no,
that was the end of the game.
Oh, that was at the end of the game. It was in yeah. the city state, and then she was trying to infiltrate someone's home. And she got, she like encountered the maid yeah. and then she, I guess you took like the maid's personality or like you took information from the maid and then you murdered her.
Yeah. 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 Because she was a mix between a mastermind rogue and a whisper bard. So she could.
Oh, you're just trying to justify murder by telling us your class combination?
No. I'm just thinking about what she did. So she could like capture a yeah. soul and like have all this information oh, and God. Then disguise self. And she got found out and she essentially had to like. You know, with a silent, obviously it was a medieval or a Greco-classical yeah. setting, but bow and arrow, but like the scene would be like a spy with a silencer just being like, well, I've been compromised. I'm going to systematically kill everyone in this complex.
Yeah.
So
very
that,
Splinter Cell.
Yeah, Splinter Cell. So that game. I can fucking get out of here. And it was grim and dark and...
Everyone, I remember that session, everyone was like absolutely silent as you were making all of these decisions and we were like, what the fuck? Yeah, and it was, I thought it was interesting because it really did show, because like Sora as a character was interesting because she was pretty congenial to the party.
Oh yeah.
And was like very like, oh hey, let's do this and like I'll help you out and all that kind of thing.
But out of game, I told you all frequently, you yeah. were all tools to her.
No, totally. Like, yeah. like, but that was, I think, the moment where it really hit me where I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. She's man. Serious.
Yeah. yeah. And I love the James Bond ending she had with the gold getting blasted into yeah, her face, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, like so I guess for me, one thing that I really want to kind of address in this conversation is how do you match up sort of like an instinctual play style with wanting to play characters that all don't feel the same? Because to your point, Rio, yeah. like you are the same person making decisions, so it's going to be somewhat similar.
Yeah.
But like after playing Bill for like 3 or 4 years or whatever it was, I was sort of like, I want to like, let me try
like
to play something
actor.
Else. Yeah, yeah. And like, let me play something else. And I think Mark started like maybe 2 years into
yeah,
Canaries. Like but even then I was like, I should try to stretch in a different direction. And so like that, so I've made like a point to try to do that, but I feel like I'm fighting myself sometimes being like, I can't do this. Like, I can't do that thing that I want to do. You know what I mean?
I think the justifying thing in retrospect is usually how I like to think about it.
Mm. Yeah. Say more about that.
So like, you know, just like, you're just kind of like, he could make any decision as long as I can justify it. It yep. makes sense. As long as the character can justify it within like the framework of their own reality, of their own like morality, of their own philosophies, personal philosophies, even if they go against it somehow, do they twist their mind into thinking somewhere so it still fits the mold that they are thinking in?
Mm.
Or do they kind of reject it partially and accept it as a defeat, as a failure
or
of their own philosophy?
Your character having like
existential crisis,
yeah. Yeah. Or like, you're a straight-edged person, but you're constantly surrounded by other people making like crazy decisions, and so it's like wears off on you. It's like, yeah, this is
just like Steven's so. Character, Nock.
Yeah,
he was slightly corrupted by Shade's character, Sora, who is.
And I also would say that Bill, towards the end, was going through a little bit of an existential crisis.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah. Like, yeah. What? I can't just act like this forever. like,
yeah,
kind of
yeah.
thing. And it was interesting.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I mean, like to that point, like I had a character named Portal. This
Portal.
This is very much my like first D&D character, and he got trapped in Barovia, and that's a very, you know, straight laces kind of character, generally speaking, but there was a moment early on where he felt that someone had information and was alone with them and pushed them up against a wall and like had a dagger in their like against their stomach kind of moment, because he wasn't going to fucking like
I'm not gonna die here
in Barovia.
Right. Yeah.
That's because Shade the player was like, this character is not dying in Barovia.
Well, no, but this character was someone who would understand what that would mean. Mm-hmm. And so like I leaned into that. And it was the one little like he hadn't yet had a chance to cope, because it was like a day after Death House. Mm-hmm. And so I let that moment happen.
Saw two people die.
Yeah, he had seen. Yeah. It was terrific. Horrific, not terrific. Terrific. It was terrific.
Terrific in the old sense.
Terrific in the, yeah, in the old sense. That's correct. But also in the new sense of like, I had a lot of fun, but also it was.
That's right. This was like the day after you just watched two people die.
Yeah.
Haunted Man.
In front, like literally in front of Portal, and he couldn't, he was trying to save both of them in those moments too. So it was very, he was on an edge. And then we adopted that teenager as like our party.
Eventually.
Not too long after that, within a couple of game days, let's say. But, you know, I would say for, this is one thing, because all of these characters we've kind of been talking about from a 5e perspective, or they've been 5e games. I would say, because we kind of touched on this, this is, again, where what's it called? The lawful good...
Alignment.
Alignment, thank you. I just lost that word. I was like, morality? That's not it. The alignment chart is really good, but the thing that I really like to use for any of my characters, regardless of what the system is, I have a little write-up. You know, 5e has this built-in where there are two character traits. There's an aspiration, a flaw, and an ideal, I guess.
Yeah.
Bond and an ideal. And like, I really like to refer to those for a lot of my decision making in little notes like that.
We're going to take a quick break, but I do want to start when we come back talking about that, of like how to ground yourself in like a new character and like how to refer back so that you can stay somewhat consistent, especially at the beginning of a campaign, because I feel like the first like 3 to 4 episodes of a campaign is going to be like kind of tone setting for yourself. Like, how do I want to play this character? So we'll talk about that in a second right after these messages.
Many miles from here, past all the hustle and bustle of your town, past the mountains and hills, across the rivers and through the forest, there is a meadow. In this meadow are several divots and burrows housing a large and united warren of bunnies.
Well, one day I'm going to go out into the forest and I'm going to meet the forest gods myself.
Why are you showing me this? What does this have to do with and what's going on in the warren?
It does puzzle me a little bit why the stories from different storytellers are different.
So we're in agreement.
Yes.
I'll see you at the lunch bell.
Bunnies and Burrows, the next Game Master Monday miniseries, begins May 6th wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, this is your tabletop crew here. It is Nick, Franco, Rio, and Shade. And today we're doing something a little different. We actually got sent some loose leaf tea inspired by our favorite TTRPG fantasies. And it is called Lucky Leaf Teas. And we actually just brewed a bunch of different types. And we're going to tell you a little bit about what we think about them. Rio and Franco, what kind did you have there?
We went with the herbal tea because we're healthy boys.
Mm-hmm. And I'm already wired.
Jacked up on caffeine.
It is.
So I need to calm down a little.
Yeah.
It's the Druid's Delight.
Mm.
It's very fruity, herbal. It's really pleasant.
Yeah, I mean, just smelling it too, I was like, whoa, that's so fruity.
It's very pleasant.
It's got a nice color to it too.
Yeah, it's kind of like a crimson, right?
Blood red. Crimson, purple.
Blood, like druids.
Oh, it's kind of like wine. It's like a nice red wine, but it's tea. Yeah. So it's caffeinating and relaxing.
It's not caffeinating.
It's relaxing.
Incredible.
Yeah, one of the things I will say is that there's actually a bunch of different types of teas that we were sent in the sampler. We have the full range. I chose kind of randomly which classes, because they're all based off of like D&D classes.
Mm-hmm. Which did you choose classes that we've played in our campaigns? Did you pick a campaign and go?
Yeah. Okay, I didn't pick just a specific campaign, but I kind of cool just went all over. Yeah, it would have been really cool of me.
Oh my God.
Shit. But yeah, we have like Artificer. We have two different types of wizard. I'm drinking the War Magic right now. And a really cool little thing about it is that each of the wizard teas are a different class of magic, but they all have a nice little edible glitter thing going on, which I'm really into. Shade,
very sparkly.
What kind did you get?
I was torn between the Bard and the Ranger, but I went with Ranger's Refreshment, which is a green tea focused around cucumber. And it smells like bubblegum, which is amazing.
We were smelling and being like, ooh, Franco kept saying Inca Kola.
Yeah. Smells like Inca Kola.
It's very good. They do have an all-natural melon flavor in there, which I actually think is what's giving us that kind of bubblegummy.
Yeah.
It's very good. I'm definitely going to be drinking more of this. So.
I will say, like, the teas in general are all, like, the packaging they come in, everything just is, like, super, super nice, super beautiful. There's, like, lots of, like, custom art inside. So thank you, Lucky Leaf Teas, for sending us a box of teas to try out. And everyone, if you're interested in trying it, head to luckyleafteas.com. All right, back to the show. Welcome back to Tabletop, everyone. Wowzers, what great sponsors. We're talking about making characters, playing different types of characters. If you feel like you're stuck in a rut with one archetype that you always play, we're kind of discussing how we try to break out of that, tools, tips, tricks. And before the break, Shade was talking about how you use specific, like in the 5e sense, there's like a generator of like traits, bonds, and like faults or something like that.
Yeah.
I would say, like, because I've been playing Merkborg recently, they also do they do that there too, even though it's like randomly generated. Yeah. And I found them so helpful to like tap into a new character, especially when they're dying so fast that you don't have a real sense of them.
Yeah.
So you can
I like the word map.
Oh, yeah.
Three words that make up this character.
Yeah.
That's a very good set.
So let's talk about some of these tools. So let's say I'm somebody who's like, man, I always play the Lawful Good Paladin. I'm trying to like move into like a different place in my gaming career. I want to be more exciting, more dynamic, not so like, you know, hesitant to do stuff in the game. How would you start this process when you're building sort of like what you want to play to try to break out of like a long-held habit?
So the question is, are you feeling like you're in a rut with the mechanics or with this narrative of the characters you're always playing? Because there's nothing wrong with always wanting to play the paladin.
Yeah, totally.
You can always play a different type of paladin.
Right. Yeah. I think it depends on the world setting too. You know, like a lot of times like the adventure will call for like certain types of activities and stuff like that. And so those types of challenges can present certain types of questions that, you know, define your character in a certain way. Like it's like, oh, okay, this kind of plays into like the, you know, like should I let this person steal a loaf of bread or should I, you know, report them or whatever, like that type of question.
Send them to a prison to turn them into Jean Valjean.
Like, I don't know. It's, yeah.
If I'm going to go off on a tangent here for a few minutes.
Okay, let's just sit back.
Yeah,
let's go.
All right, everyone.
So, Franco had a paladin called Sigra.
That's it.
That was a blue draconian lightning breath paladin, Oath of the Ancients, I believe.
Yep.
I played a blue draconian paladin that was like the Oath of Honor or some such. So both lawful. I was lawful neutral. He was lawful good.
Totally.
I believe. So both of our paladins are very, very similar in far as build. But I would say that like a lot of the ways you can get out of the rut is like just make different decisions. Like Sigra was always like, I'm going to stand back. I'm going to defend. I'm going to heal. I'm going to use my sentinel. And I'm going to stop people from getting close to my friends. Whereas Thade had compelled duel. And so he was always like, I'm going to pick a fight. I'm going to pull one person off to the side. I'm either going to die or I'm going to kill them. And that's how he went through every situation. So it was more like single-focused combat, kill or be destroyed. And so if you're always playing a lawful good paladin, it's like, well, what is your lawful good paladin always doing?
Yeah.
And how can you change that? And I wish you said something different because I've never seen you play a lawful good paladin, so I have nothing actually to give advice for.
Are we talking about me specifically?
That's what you gave me this prompt that has no meat behind it.
I'm just saying one, not me specifically, yeah. But I'm just saying if one feels like, hey, I'm always playing this specific lawful,
well, yeah,
whatever.
But I can't give advice to someone I don't know.
I think.
Wow.
I mean, that's what we're here for.
I mean, that's, isn't that, I need more. That's kind of the premise of the podcast,
I'll give more. I'll give more.
Give me more. Give me something to chew on.
This is going
to
be a Pantheon's moment, I think.
No, it's fine.
So, you know, if you just described two lawful good. Right, Sigrow was lawful good, or did I hear that right?
Fuck,
I was
alignment.
Yeah. neutral. Okay.
Fuck alignment.
All right, but when
that's
when,
the sound of the alignment.
Okay.
When Nick was saying lawful good, you know, we're talking about someone who, you know, it plays everything very close to the chest, safe, generous, always does what most people would say is the right thing, and if you're always playing that character. How would you advise me, Rio, because those are the characters that I generally play, how would you advise me to not play that? Let's say I want to play, still want to play a paladin, but I don't want it to be the same character that I always play, these generally good people.
Yeah, make different decisions.
Okay.
Pose a decision to me, and then I'll tell you how I might choose.
You know what? I think I have a great idea. Franco, what would you do in this situation?
All right, here's a, well.
No, I'm just thinking, like, because you guys have posed a couple of tools, like the flaws or the word maps and stuff. For me, that is like a really great way for me to get into a character for like a one shot. Like, I'm able to just I latch onto a specific trait, like in Morkborg, since characters are dying so quickly.
Oh, I have an answer now.
But you lost your fucking chance.
No, I didn't. So listen, what you do is you take your character that you are playing, uh-huh, and you make that word map for them. What are like the three like defining characters?
Yeah.
And you just pick
one. This was the answer that I was kind
of
hoping for.
Opposite of that,
oh,
and put that word in there.
Yeah.
And then you start making decisions for that. So I have a processing disorder.
It's all good, dude.
It takes me a while
it's all
to
good.
Get you, there.
Yeah, that's all no, good.
So I've answered your question so and let's, proven I'm the best advice giver on
hell
this
yeah.
podcast once Let, more.
Let's give like a specific. So let's say with the neutral good paladin, let's say that the word map, like, could you give like an example of what a really lawful, like, you know, big damn hero word map would be?
Okay, so let's just say
big.
Stoic. Fuck. So like I'm gonna try to think of a one of like.
If only we had a random table.
If only we had a random table to draw stuff. So let's say stoic, practical,
uh-huh,
nurturing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're gonna play a different kind of character. Let's take stoic out and put
anxious,
emotional.
Oh yeah.
And now we have someone who's trying to be practical and nurturing, but is also fueled by emotions instead of that inner calm.
That's interesting.
And now you
yeah.
have a completely different character and you're only changing one thing in your decision-making process.
I also think that this is an interesting way to do it because you can gradually shift yourself into a different, like a fully, like completely separate type by like slowly over the course of a little bit, just like saying, okay, we've been playing this character for like a year. I think that the second word is going to start changing. Like, or over the course of that year, it went from practical to erratic,
impractical,
or something, you know, and then you can start changing the character, and that's how maybe you could guide yourself if you're having trouble.
Yeah, I would say that in the characters I've played, Brova protective, Valen protective, Abraham protective, Tibbity needy,
yeah,
and so it becomes like he needs to be protected and looked after,
yeah,
and that's different than the other who have done that for other players.
Yeah, I like that a lot, and that's a great system because it is asystematic as a group.
System agnostic.
Thank you.
System agnostic. Asymptomatic means you're not showing any symptoms.
Yeah.
Probably healthy.
Probably.
There's always the internal disease.
No one can know.
But yeah, system agnostic. You could do that in any system easily, and it's a really great way to stay connected.
Another thing that you were going to say, Shade, that I do enjoy, and this is what Morkborg does, is that it gives you a character trait that is a like a flaw, air quotes, yeah. like the one that I had for the...
You get to keep saying air quotes. Yeah,
well, it's an auditory medium, and I keep using a physical gesture.
Well, you can just say flaw.
Yeah, I guess. But like the thing is, for one of the characters that was generated for Morkborg for me after a character died, it was like always stutters when lying. And like that is an interesting, it's an interesting specific trait that you can then sort of like build into your character. Does that mean that he tries to lie all the time? And this is why, like, so the stutter is something that happens pretty frequently.
Mm.
Is it something that he means that he always tells the truth because he knows that it's very obvious?
Specificity is always better than not.
Yeah. Like, say more words about that.
The more specific you can be about anything ever, the more, like, you know, if it's like. Like, if you're like writing a book or something, you always want to just be more specific, even if you're trying to write about something that like anybody could relate to.
Yeah.
It's like people find the universality and the specificity.
Yeah. So in acting, there's a way that you go through a script and you add actionable verbs in so that you can guide your performance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very much like your word map, Rio. And so I think that to add on to both of your points, like whenever you're doing one of these things to try to give yourself a tether, you should be hyper-specific and make them actionable. So if it's words, it's like protective, like that is something that you can play, you know, like I'm being protective. If it's something like Dadaist, you know, like that's maybe not quite as playable. No. So Dadaist is sort of like it's a strain of absurdism that came after World War One. It's a type of mindset.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. but you can, like, if you play that, it's like
Salvador Dada.
Yeah.
because of the baby boom.
Yeah.
Everyone was
Dada. Yeah.
The baby boom after World War One.
Dear God.
Yeah.
That one didn't last.
That one was shorter. Everyone was too depressed.
Yeah, and then something else happened. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I think that can be helpful. Be specific, be actionable with what you're doing. But let's say somebody's not super comfortable. They don't know what the character is yet. They usually find out via playing.
Mm-hmm.
Franco, you were saying, like, make your decisions through your actions, your decisions that you, like, actually make in the game. So can you tell us a little bit about your philosophy around that?
Yeah, just that. So what you said, you know, just make it. Sorry, this guy's drinking water. Jeez, what a
we
pro!
We all became terrible podcasters. Yeah,
you make the decision. You're like, huh? I wonder. I've never done this before, but you could do this, I guess, if you wanted to or whatever.
Sure.
So you're like, let me make a decision that my character would. Yeah, give me a scene. Okay. Who's gonna be the narrator?
I'll do this for you. So
I'll be the other character.
All right. Yeah.
Rio, do you want to be another character with me?
We'll both be other characters.
Are we NPCs or other players?
You are all players.
I'm a main character.
All right. Great. Here, let's do this. You're all players. Yeah. Nick, you are leaning into... No, we don't need to roll initiative.
Okay.
You're going to lean into a more chaotic character, someone who is all about freedom.
Never done that before.
you are going to lean into a character who is aloof and... and maybe has something that's kind of going on,
New Hampshire.
You know, at school that they're more concerned with.
Oh, okay, this is modern day, all right.
No, I mean, schools have existed for a long time, but
not in my experience.
And you're going to lean into a character who wants to protect their friends.
Nice.
You're
are these two my friends or my friends?
They are your friends.
Okay.
They are your
Fuck
friends.
Yeah.
But recently, you know, those are your usual character types. Recently, you've wanted to play a character, Franco, who is more, you know, there and present for people.
Okay.
You've wanted to play a character, Rio, that is more.
This is for Franco.
Okay. Yeah. He's the only one
that's changing. Yeah.
So that's you're usually playing a more aloof character.
But now I'm trying to be more present so that other people can depend on me.
Yeah.
Because at some point I let everybody down with my aloofness.
Yeah. Mm. And
something like that.
And so you are the three of your characters are walking through this woods. You've been on a very long journey. You're half hit points.
Fuck,
you're exhausted.
What is a hit point? Oh god, my hit points are at half.
Oh. and you spot that there is an overturned cart up ahead, and possibly there's someone who is lying on the ground beside that.
Well, that's a trap.
A citizen in trouble. We should go investigate.
No. Hold on. That could be a trap.
Let me take a look in the cart just in case.
Okay. All right. Okay. See, my reaction was, I'm playing a game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that is my natural reaction.
Exactly.
His natural reaction is, this isn't real. It's a game.
No.
And there's going to be a trap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it looks like a trap, doesn't it? It's an overturned cart
like
in the middle of the road.
Looks like
you're
there's
so
some barrels that I can check
you.
In.
Bandits often use things like this to spring traps on people.
That is true. I have been a bandit for a little while.
Huh?
Are there lots of bandits in these woods? How often do people actually become victimized by crime? Can I roll history?
How about would I just know that as a character in this world?
You know that this is a dangerous woods.
It's an OSR thing.
You know this is a dangerous woods.
Got it. Thank you.
Would I know common bandit calls?
Because he's a bandit. He used to be a former bandit.
I start calling out I am also a bandit. Bandit Brotherhood. Bandit.
But it sounds like
bandit. Bandit.
You make those calls.
And you hear nothing.
I don't think it's bandits.
Wait, what was I trying to do again? I'm usually aloof.
You're usually aloof,
there but I want to be more there for everybody. Yeah. Like, okay, guys, I just, you know, I don't know. I just called
out the bandits.
All right, let's check. I'll keep an eye out and be more aware and present and protective
and
of you
guys. And I'm a cart maker, so I know that I could probably lift this cart and free this person.
That doesn't mean you can lift it.
Did you know that if a parent's child is in trouble, that they can lift up to 3 times their maximum under normal circumstances?
If they love
Excuse me. Are you this person's son?
Can you call him daddy as he lifts this card off of you?
Come on, mom strength!
That's a perfect example.
I was going to say as you get closer, you realize that this is one of your classmates.
Nick, you have started
to hear the telltale signs of a bandit troop that you don't.
But guys, it can't be a bandit because I called out in bandit.
Could be
right
a different
response.
In bandit.
That goes against the telltale signs of the bandits that
anti-bandit.
Don't.
Anti-bandit bandits? Those are worse than bandits.
Use those specific call signs.
Yeah.
I bet it's
definitely an ambush.
Guys, I don't think that this is bandits. I think this is mercenaries.
The choice here is essentially your two friends who are standing upright are clearly about to be like maybe in a fight, or you have this individual that's on the ground that you know from school and you've been having all these problems at school because your characters usually have
on adventures instead of going to school. I think you're right.
Let's just get out of here then, right?
So what decision do you make here that feels more aloof versus what decision do you make here that feels more there and present?
Aloof. I guess if I was more aloof, I might just go along with whatever you guys say. Although I don't know how useful the aloof tag is here in this situation.
Yeah, it's a weird situation.
Yeah, but
I didn't want it to be too specific.
Too on the nose.
Improv,
yeah, that makes
all
sense.
Right?
All right. So like if I were more aloof,
never heard of her.
Then I would what's it called? If I were more aloof, I might just go along with whatever you guys say. And I was trying to be more present. I maybe would try to stick around and see what happens or something
and
like that.
Try to like actively affect the situation.
Maybe.
Steer it in some
Okay, I would like to go up to the victim and see if they're okay. And then I just say to you guys, like, keep an eye out. I just want to make sure that they're okay.
Yeah.
What happens?
In doing that, you do find that this individual has...
How many hit points do they have?
They have been killed.
Oh, fuck. I have so much beef with them.
But they have a letter crushed in their hands. They have kind of balled up a piece of paper.
Uh-huh. You unwrap it and it just says, gotcha, motherfucker. And
oh, no.
Signed by the person.
I was gonna say, you take the paper out of her hand, you unwrap it, and it just says, Basil's in the voice room.
Now, what in the boys' room?
Basilisk is coming. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Sure.
But this piece of paper is very pertinent to an issue that you've been dealing with.
I grabbed the paper. I haven't read it yet.
Well, okay.
Okay, I'm grabbing it.
You grab the paper.
Okay, what happens then?
You read it.
Where are the bandits? Now,
the bandits you hear are approaching. Your friends are ready.
No, they're not bandits. They're at least brigands.
Brigands, yeah, yeah. Brigands. Okay.
The aggressors are oppressing.
Bandits at least have a code.
They're approaching.
Not brigands.
It is very clear your friends are readying to possibly fight, but you see this letter has pertinent information to an issue you've been dealing with at your school, and you need to hightail it out of here now if you want to address the situation.
There's a basilisk in the bad voice.
Yeah. Something like that. Find there's a basilisk that's been hanging out in the bathroom
and it's planning on eating the class
president
it's not
here.
Bandits. These are the tunnel basilisks. The high school gang.
Oh, yeah, okay.
There you go.
Okay, I grab the piece of paper.
30 greasers step out of the woods, snapping.
I just tell you guys, it's like, okay, well, now let's get out of here. I have a piece of paper that has pertinent information, and we have to solve this problem. But first, we have to get out of here.
It's only a problem for you.
It's only a problem for me. So I just say, like, guys, we have to get out of here anyway, right? It behooves all of us to get out of here right now.
Because I'm a centaur.
As the aggressor coming up, you both realize that the target that you two have been chasing after for a while is leading this.
Hey guys, that's our target.
Oh,
so
fuck.
You're left with a decision here. You either are going to flee and address.
Are we just playing a game?
No, I'm having a great time.
You either are going to flee and abandon whatever little quest, you know, this target that they have been trying to pursue for some time. You've been helping them with, and deal with your situation at school, or you can stand and help.
Guys,
feels kind of railroady.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just joking.
You don't really have an aloof option.
Guys,
run.
I have another option. We should run away and then circle back around, because they're catching us unawares. We have to catch them unawares.
Yeah,
this is a bad situation that we're in.
If brigands act like bandits at all, which I'm not saying that they're the same type, they're just same genre.
Sure.
That brigands will leave. They're nomadic. They don't just stay in one place.
I'm sorry, circle back because of the tortoiseshell I carry on my back.
Absolutely incredible.
Honestly,
I think we're gonna cut all this. Right?
Honestly,
no, this is a separate episode.
I also think that Rio's doing a great job of making a character choice, which is takes everything personally. Which I think is such a funny
I think
character
that's just who he is.
I'm protective of myself.
Oh. Yeah.
He's not being protective, he's being defensive.
Yeah. No, but I think that that's like, that kind of shows to how like interacting with other people's versions of what the scene is going to be like is kind of hard.
Yeah.
And that you can try to be holding on to a specific thing of like, I'm trying to move from being aloof to... it, like more invested in my teammates, but if the teammates are also being like, what the fuck ever?
I'm gonna throw a smoke bomb down and obscure ourselves for a minute so that we have some cover
before they.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I throw the smoke bomb down.
A smoke bomb is an item that you can buy that casts fog cover. Level one spell.
No, it's a smoke bomb. We're playing an OSR game.
So you throw that down.
This is the country by Luke Gehring.
Are you saying you're gonna begin to tug on your friends to run away?
Yeah. Yeah. I follow.
Where did the smoke come from? I don't know.
Oh my God. I tell you, it's me. Okay, guys, I'm going to throw the smoke bomb down. We're going to go deeper into the woods away from where they're running from. Are they like coming in from all directions?
Yeah, coming in from from the direction you were heading towards.
A classic basilisk pincer.
Yeah. Maneuver. So we're going to hop into the woods to the right, and we'll try to do it as stealthily as possible.
All right. One of you can hide under my turtle shell on my back.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to assume, but can you run pretty fast because you're a centaur?
No, we're not running away. We're hiding in the woods, and then we're gonna try to ambush them as they come.
My centaur half is actually a cat half, so I can get into a tree.
Let me also just say that I'm a little upset that everyone's saying behoove just because I am an owl.
I don't think any of us said behoove.
The DM did, and I am a character that is fourth wall breaking.
It's pronounced behove.
Yeah, so this is a really great session, guys. We're gonna end of session.
This is your experience, total. Franco.
Yeah, if anybody wants us to do an actual play, that's what it might sound like.
Oh boy, I don't want that.
Oh man. But no, I think that.
How would you have resolved roles in this situation? Because none of us have dice right now.
Oh, interesting. I mean, we were just trying to get you to kind of show.
How would you resolve it? Like, what would be a diceless way to resolve the interactions that we've been having?
Oh, I mean,
rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, yeah, you think
we
so?
Could okay. do that. We could do, but I mean, like, if we were really going to play that out in this moment, honestly, I would go diceless entirely. I might just actually play based on. I would just improv with you. We would just be doing for him. We're in a podcast,
I think,
right?
Yeah,
now.
I was just thinking about FKR, like Free Creek Skill, which is like, like there's no stats, there's nothing like that.
Not even a game at that point. Why are you even?
Well, there's dice rolling, but I think it's usually just the DM. It's just like a really different mode of play where you're just fully. It's like a high trust mode of play.
Yeah. Oh, I don't. I have.
So I think that yes. It is hard to make these changes mid-game. I think it's easier to, and like during that section, which I'll never see the light of day, maybe, I don't know. I maybe when I'm editing, I'll be like, that was actually really good.
Sure.
I think just leave it in.
Yeah, let's leave it in.
Why not?
There is something that kind of came to me during that, which was like, oh, also, characters.
Yes, and.
Yes, and. Characters can like change gradually. I think that some people feel like, like going back to our pacing conversation, that if they want to swap up characters, it has to be immediate. Mm-hmm. And you can sort of just find something that's an easy thing to play at first, which is just like what we were saying, those like find a word or a trait, or like Tuggart, his reflexive defensiveness.
I think he was a half turtle, half cat, mantar, and he's a tough life.
Mantar.
And I think that it's interesting because you can start with that. But it's like when you first get to know someone, you only see the surface level of what they're presenting, which is only a few traits anyway.
Sure.
And then as you get to know them, they become more complex.
Just think of your character.
An interesting person.
Yeah.
Just think of your character as somebody that you are also getting to know.
Yeah. All right. I think that is a great episode of Tabletop.
I said it in a way so that you would end it.
Yeah. Shade is crying right now.
I'm hungry.
Everyone, if you're interested in more Tabletop, come back next Monday. You can also go to our Patreon feed if you want to hear about Tuggart, or if it's in this one, then you can hear our Wild Magic episodes instead. Just go to patreon.com/tabletop. You can also send us a message at our website, tabletoppod.com. There's a little contact form. You could also just send us an email at tabletoppodcast.
And check out Gilmore Guys, our Gilmore Girls recap podcast coming out in a couple months.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. All right, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey everyone, it's me, Nick, from the Tabletop Podcast. When I'm not hosting, I'm thinking about ways to create a better podcast for you guys, and I think I landed on something pretty fun. In fact, if you go to our Patreon at patreon.com/tabletopped and join for as little as $1 a month, you can get access to a new episode a month that we're going to start putting out. In fact, we're going to be calling this one Wild Magic, I think, in that we're going to talk about anything and everything that interests us, not just TTRPGs, though there will be a lot of that. It is truly unhinged, and if you are a fan of the podcast and all of the hosts, you're definitely going to want to be on it. We're thinking of dropping these at the end of each month, so join our Patreon today. That is patreon.com/tabletopped. Oh, and there's going to be so much more coming out in the new year there, so don't miss it. Sign up today.